But he says, rejoice and be exceeding glad. For great is your reward in heaven. There is a reward for you in heaven. Again, it's not that you're going to heaven. It's that heaven is going to come. And the reward is waiting there for you. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. The prophets also were persecuted. We read in Hebrews, all the ways the prophets were, and many of the men of faith of past, they were stoned, they were sawn in sunder. All the awful things that happened to people. And he's saying, in spite of the bad things that happen to you, you ought to rejoice. Because you are the heir of eternal life. You are the heir of the kingdom of God. You are the heir of God and joint heir with Christ. Verse 13, ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Then he begins to proceed with these declarative statements. You are the salt. When you do all these things, you are happy, and you are like salt. Salt that in food brings out flavoring. Salt that makes things better, you know? But if the salt has lost its savor, what is savor? You know, it's the flavor. It's the saltiness. It's funny. I hear people preach this from time to time. They're, oh, it's to be salty. No, it's to be all these things that he said before. If you do all these things, you are the salt. And these are your flavors. Poor, mourn, meek. Hunger, thirsty after righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, peacemaker, persecuted for righteousness' sake, you are salt and light. If you lose that, if you don't have those things, you know, like, look, I'm going to go to 2 Peter 1 again, and I go there all the time, but I think it's worthy of repetition because Peter sums it up so well. And there's so much in that 2 Peter chapter 1 that is just so important to me. He talks about, you know, add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity, which is love. And then he says, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren, nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he talks about godliness and righteousness, he's talking about the things here that Jesus taught. He's talking about the things that Christ taught in all the Gospels. To be righteous, to be upright, to do what is right, to be without the things of earth, to be not fat in the world, but thin in the world, and fat in the things of God, to be hungry for righteousness, ready to obtain, ready to seek. And he says, you know, if those things are in you that Christ is offering by his promises, I'm referring to 2 Peter again, chapter 1. You know, he says, you will not be barren or unfruitful. You will not lose your savor. The savor of those of the children of God is that they are peacemakers. The savor of those who inherit the kingdom of God is that they are poor. They got to taste right. It's got to, you know, if you took salt in your mouth, and it tasted like wood. What would it be? It would be nothing. It's not worth anything anymore. Because salt, the main thing about salt is what it tastes like. It's its flavor. If you had salt that had no flavor, what is it then? Just something to increase your blood pressure? Something to help you retain water without flavoring? But the number one thing it is for is flavoring. Yeah, it's also a preservative. When people talk about it being a preservative, I'm like, what are they talking about? Where are they going with that? It's a preservative. Well, he said savor. The point is, the thing is, salt can lose its flavoring and stuff if you leave it out in the sun or on the bare earth. If it's exposed to too much air, it loses its savor. And it's not good for anything. To be cast out and be trodden under feet for the streets. It's good for cleaning. It's good for putting on the street. Like, right? You could use it to, put on the ice. Though I don't think they had ice in mind. That Jesus had ice in mind when he talks about being trodden underfoot. Which means to be on the streets. It's good for nothing except for throwing out in the streets. It'll absorb water. It will melt ice. It has some purpose left, but notice, not a purpose worthy of what we're talking about. Yeah, you'll still be human. And you'll be worth what? Throwing out into the world to be trodden underfoot of men. You are the light of the world. When you are all these things that Christ is teaching, you are light. You are that which reveals and that which gives forth light and brightness. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You know, you can hide a city down in the valley, but on the hill, it cannot be hid. It is sitting there and it is able to be seen. It is obvious. Verse 15, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. There again, there's this sort of duality. Later on, he's going to say, don't do your good works to be seen of men. He's going to say, hi, you know, don't let your alms be seen of men. I mean, don't be a show-off. There's a balance of spirit whereby we let our light be shown, yet we do not act like a bunch of proud hooligans, you know, foaming out our wonderfulness on everybody else. Shining our light down into their eyes and blinding them with it, you know. Being more than visible, but trying, you know, to be gaudy. You know, it's one thing to put a city on a hill, but then you got to erect billboards every 5 miles saying, it's almost there. The great city. Almost there. It is not that we are show-offs, but we cannot be hid. We are a city set on a hill, walking uprightly, and in the knowledge and fear of the Lord, we are to be visible. We are not to hide, right? Now, some things we do, you know, don't let your right hand know what your left is doing when you're giving alms and so on and so forth. Yeah, we aren't. Some people, like he says, they do things to be seen. They do things because they want other people to see how great they are. But we want to do it so that the message gets out. See, for the sake of the message, I will let my light shine. You know, but it's not to be where we show off our good deeds to impress people. See, that's what we're supposed to avoid. Don't try to impress people with your righteousness. Don't try to impress people with your good deeds. Let them be seen. But you're not letting them be seen to let them be seen. If no one sees, then no one sees. If no one's looking, then no one's looking. All the better, because your Father, which sees in secret, will reward you openly. I'm getting ahead of myself. Look at, you don't light a candle. God did not put a light in you. He did not put the word of God in you. He did not put the truth in you. For you to hide the truth and to hide the light that is in you and to keep it hidden from men. No, he put it in you for you to share it. To do his will and to do his work. All these works of the Beatitudes, as they're called, are put in you that you would